This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. When the siege of Sarajevo started, Adamir Kenevich picked up his camera and started videotaping the war. He organized a group of filmmakers and film students to do the same. They call themselves the Sarajevo Group of Authors, known by the acronym SAGA. The New York Times described SAGA's films as a handheld view from ground zero of the war's civilian victims, as shot by video makers from all major ethnic and religious groups, working without press passes, armed escorts, or flak jackets, and creating haunting, if technically erratic, affidavits of sudden death in Sarajevo. A collection of SAGA films are showing at the New York Film Festival. Kenevich managed to get to New York for the festival. He'll then return to Sarajevo, where he is, believe it or not, organizing a film festival scheduled to begin later this month. Kenevich is a professor of film in Sarajevo. He told me it was a natural impulse to start videotaping when the siege began.
I just couldn't be passive. And I was mad at somebody keeping me at prison without any trial or without any obvious guilt, and I just wanted to react on that. Well, my reaction, of course, could be lots of different moves, but I just assumed that the best thing is to try to document what we could document in from our point of view.
How did you organize filmmakers, film students, and amateurs into the group that you put together?
Well, SAGA, as I said, used to exist as a little private production company. And at the beginning of the war, we just called everybody who felt like us, who felt that we should try to form some of our independent-minded project, which will show our point of view. We just called everybody, and people just came. We just started to find out the ways to survive. For example, salary for everybody was a loaf of bread. And we from time to time find out the way to find people's cigarettes, because a lot of people in cigarettes and over there smoke. Then we find out the way to get some diesel for our generators. Although, for example, the price of diesel is unbelievable, like for example $80 per gallon on some kind of black market.
How do you get film and video? I imagine that's really hard to come by now.
Yeah, everything we do on video. And we did have some stock of tapes. We did have some equipment, cameras, like height, U-matic, beta. We had a couple of mobile complex, and but then we were trying to find from everybody in Sarajevo who had stocked in their houses or little studios. So we just exchanged it for something. Somebody gave us some food or something. We bought it, or then we just from time to time some friends gave us a couple of cassettes. For example, Annie Leibovitz gave
us...
The photographer gave me 20 high-8 cassettes, which I was very happy about, and I'm grateful to her, and so on.
Since Sarajevo doesn't have electricity, can you show these tapes to anybody in Sarajevo?
Well, you use the generators mainly to make the screenings. We made a couple of screenings for people in Sarajevo, and now TV BNH is showing every week one of our little documentaries. And unfortunately, people are not seeing it very much because there is, as you said, no electricity. But, I think footage are now maybe more precious to see outside of Sarajevo than inside of Sarajevo.
Well, you're out of Sarajevo temporarily. You're in New York to show some of your films at the New York Film Festival. How did you manage to get out of Sarajevo?
Well, it's almost impossible to get out of Sarajevo. And I had that luck that, Soros Foundation just helped me to get all possible papers to happen. UN military APC, then UN military planes. So I found out I just appeared in Italy, where I got all possible visas. So I'm gonna go back the same way, just in time to get to Sarajevo Film Festival, which is going to be on 23rd of October.
Why do you want to go back to Sarajevo? Would you be able to stay in the States or in Europe if you wanted to?
Well, of course, I would be able to stay anywhere I would want to, but I live in Sarajevo, you know, that's the place where I live, and that's the place where I work, and that's the place where I have a lot of people who think just the same as me, and I'm considering that Sarajevo is not what's happening in Sarajevo is not local problem, and hell is going to spread anywhere else if the problem in Sarajevo is not solved. And I wouldn't be I wouldn't feel secure on New Zealand if what's happening in Sarajevo becomes a paradigm of supporting the extreme nationalism and hell which is which has been made to a people of Sarajevo. You know, we people in Sarajevo are not anymore in position to be scared. We lost that kind of a feeling, you know. We just we faced something which could be called as a third world war, and we just now feel that it shouldn't be supported by anything, even by our deserting of Sarajevo, because I think that we people in Sarajevo are showing that that what's being imposed upon us, that horror, that fascism, which is a mild word, what's going on to Sarajevo, cannot win and shouldn't win. And we just have to face that challenge, and just to show to other rest of the world that it is a dangerous thing which could spread very widely.
You were born in Sarajevo in 1950. You're from a Muslim background. Did you ever feel discriminated against? Did you ever feel anti-Muslim hatred before the war started?
First of all, Bosnia was mainly always a secular country, and then nobody ever paid attention on a religious part of that. People were just not religious, mainly. Like, you can say that 10% of the old people were religious, you know. So we just, we were always mixed. We are, first of all, Slavic origin, there, our ancestors, like 6th or 7th century, probably mixed with some people who were living over there too. Then some religion came, Catholicism, some people took it, some other came Orthodox, then Islamic, then Jews came 500 years ago. So the way of life was normal mixture of different culture, different religious, with the deepest respect for every of them. But we in Sarajevo never felt that's something which is like the first thing you are defining somebody with? Well, for me, they will always asking me, well, what are you? I always used to say that I'm a film director and nationally minded, well, nothing especially important.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Ademir Kenovich, and he founded SAGA, which is the acronym for the Sarajevo Group of Authors. It's a group of professional, student, and amateur film and theater people who were documenting life during the war in Sarajevo. Some of his movies will be shown at the New York Film Festival, and that's why he's on this brief visit to the United States. We're going to take a short break, then we'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Bosnian filmmaker Ademir Kenovich, who is on a brief visit to New York to show some of his films and some of the films of the film group that he founded. What is your typical day like now in Sarajevo? Do you have anything that you could call a typical day?
Yeah, well, we just, first of all, I live in a downtown and I'm a refugee in one of the apartments which where I live with a couple of my friends. My house has been captured by those on the mountains because it was out of the city. And, I usually just, you know, in Sarajevo you just go on different hunts. You hunt for the water, then you hunt for the food, then you just try to help other people, your friends, your relatives, your father, and so on, to find something, you know. People just roam around, you know, trying to find something, you know, flour, humanitarian aid, piece of something, can, or, you know, they like people no matter is it dangerous or not, people from Sarajevo are going to get a water. They just it's a very very, very traditional hygiene tradition, with you know, very strong hygiene tradition. So people from Sarajevo are having water, no matter is it possible or no. And that's probably one of the reasons why you don't have spread all kinds of different diseases, you know, because, you know, in, well, if there wouldn't be so, you know, a lot of people would get just a different, you know, I don't know, diarrheas or whatever those diseases are. So we just then go to our SAGA office. We live in a kind of commune, video commune, TV film commune. We just all my friends, filmmakers, students. Some of them are living over there. Some of them are just coming in the morning, 9:30. Then we just go. We have a shooting every day, one crew, two crews, three crews. We have editings every day. And to now, exactly this time, we are finishing the editing of a film which we made following the Susan Sontag, who was making Godot, Waiting for Godot in Sarajevo. It's going to be, I guess, fascinating document about how you make a play in Sarajevo. While actors are waiting for the food, waiting for the water, some actors' wives are waiting for the kids, waiting for the eventual support from the outside world, and so on. So we mainly work all day long. We just work and try to communicate with the outside world.
If you didn't have work, if you didn't have film, do you think you'd lose your mind?
Well, I didn't say we didn't lose our minds, but I think the work helps to preserve the control of at least, you know, some of the parts of the mind, you know. And I think, well, we think under the situation we are in, we just think that it's inevitable to work, because we want to not only to show the world now what's happening, and not show the world the state of minds of filmmakers also, but we think, and we are definitely sure, that we have to preserve these documents, which we have now more than 100 hours, for the next decades to come, because this period, unfortunately, in the place where I live, will be probably subject of investigations for the next decades.
Has your life gone through certain phases during the war? I mean,
it's extremely dense situation. So you just change your feelings of extreme desperation, extreme happiness, extreme rage, extreme this scorn to everybody who is not in Sarajevo. In fact, most of the people in Sarajevo despise everything and everybody which is just not acting, not doing anything to try to understand what's happening in Sarajevo. So you are going through different phases. It's just, for example, absolutely, devastating desperation gets you when you cannot communicate over the phone for a couple of weeks, for example, where you don't know anything, what's happening with your close family or friends.
I want to get back to some of the films that you made that we'll be showing at the New York Film Festival. One of the films is an interview with a Serb who describes in the movie how he learned how to slit throats by practicing on pigs. He describes a mass rape, a gang rape that he participated in, and how they were told by people in the military that they should participate in these rapes to keep up combat morale. And after one of the rapes, he describes how after one of the rapes they killed the woman. Put a pistol shot through her head. How did you find this person, and who was actually doing the interview?
I was told by somebody I knew that several people from the other side were caught. So I just asked some people. I went straight to the prison. I asked, "Can I see the person? Because I would like to." Just to make sure that these people exist and that I wanted to know who they are, so they allowed me, and I John Burns knew that I'm gonna do that. He found
out. John Burns of the New York Times.
Yes, and he asked me to come with me while we were shooting this documentary. So I took him together with me. So I wanted to preserve like authenticity of it, and I just wanted to make sure that everything is okay. So we just it was an investigation, it was the time before he was investigated on the court. I just wanted to have this conversation, and the guy who was asking him was I guess one of the prison chiefs or military prison director or something, and there was John, there was me too. I was just asking him just normal questions like, what kind of music does he like, and is he religious, and so on.
What was it like for you to be in a room with one of the people responsible for the war and for the atrocities?
I was, in fact, a lot of people asked me that, and I was curious to see. What are the people like who are doing that, and what's behind that? And after we shot this 7-hour-long interview, I found out that unfortunately for him, he's just transparently showing that through him system which made him speaks. He's just a poor creature who was taken into that system and made do these things.
How does it feel now to briefly be outside of the war, to briefly be in New York, knowing that you'll be going right back into the war when the film festival's over?
Well, just like being on another galaxy. And you see, we are not living only on another planet in Sarajevo or another galaxy. It's like you are going to ride to a time machine and going a couple of centuries back, because it's what's happening is you can just compare it with some kind of medieval unbelievableness.
When the Sarajevo Film Festival that you're organizing starts later in October, what kinds of outside movies will you be bringing in? What seems most appropriate to show now in Sarajevo?
Well, everything seems appropriate to show in Sarajevo. I mean, we just want to assure everybody that we want to keep on living normally. We just don't want to make any kind of revolutionary statements, nor any kind of new democratia thing or
no big manifestos.
No. We just want to say that we just are like other people. We never thought nor dreamt that we'll be kept in prison like animals in zoo. You know, so we just want a normal life with normal selection of movies.
Are you going to bring in comedies? Does it feel...
Of course.
Does it feel like wrong to laugh at a time like that? Or does it feel like, well, that's what you need?
No, it's wrong. It's not wrong to laugh in Sarajevo. In Sarajevo, people always have been making jokes. And even now, and the most often they make jokes about Sarajevo. Like this one, the latest one was the difference between Auschwitz and Sarajevo. And the difference is because Auschwitz had gas.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, gee. Ademir Kenović is a professor of film and a filmmaker living in Sarajevo. The videotapes of Bosnia Under Siege by Kenović and his group Saga are showing at the New York Film Festival today and Saturday. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.